Welcome to the Calvary Chapel La Palma podcast with Dr. and Pastor Asher Matthew. Join us as we draw from the scriptures answers to life's challenges. To know more about our ministry and to sign up for our daily devotionals by email, visit www.calvarychapelapalma.org. And with today's message, here's Pastor Asher.
Please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. We have been studying the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 5, and our concentration is on verse 9 today. But we will read from the beginning, just for us to get an understanding of the scripture. Matthew chapter 5. And seeing the multitudes, he, that is Jesus, went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And for today, verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers. What is going to happen to them? For they shall be called the sons of God. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We bow at the feet of the Lord, and we want you to teach us from your word. Give us insights for our spiritual growth. Father, remove all types of distraction among us. Help us to concentrate on you and on your word. Guide us. May your spirit move among us in a mighty way. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. The following discussion between Sir Winston Churchill and Lady Astor ended up in a conflict joke. Who is Winston Churchill? A British politician who was the Prime Minister of England, United Kingdom. And Lady Astor was an American woman, born woman, to become the first woman elected into the British Parliament. So they had a discussion and it ended up in a conflict joke. Lady Astor said, "Sir, if you were my husband, I would put poison in your coffee." And Sir Winston Churchill replied, "If you were my wife, I would drink it." Then she said, "You, sir, you are drunk." Sir Winston Churchill immediately replied, "Yes, madam, but I shall be sober in the morning, but you will be ugly always." As human beings, we are going to have conflict with others. That is natural. And this conflict carries over to nations and government structures as well. When the scripture proclaims, "Blessed are the peacemakers," one may see, I quote, "Tell that to a radical Muslim of the world. Or tell that to Robert Mugabe, one of the world's worst dictators in Zimbabwe. Or tell that to the Iranian government. Or tell that to Al-Qaeda, to suicide bombers. And tell that to our world today, which is exactly not peaceful." Clearly, that's exactly what Jesus did. He told you and me to be peacemakers, but we are still not listening. Amen? We are not listening to him. When Jesus told his disciples upon that mountain about this one, they did listen to him. This morning, let's take a look at this passage in detail. And the first point on the screen, the definition of peace. In order to become real peacemakers, we have to first understand its proper meaning. In order to become real peacemakers. Notice, true peace is not the absence of conflict. Right? True peace is not the absence of conflict. But true peace is not simply two enemies who are not fighting either. Then what it is? True peace, on the screen you can see, this is my way of putting the definition. True peace is an absence of conflict in which opposite sides are being brought together in love, righteousness, and truth, ending in a right relationship. Would you be able to read with me that statement one more time? True peace is an absence of conflict in which opposite sides are being brought together in love, righteousness, and truth, ending in a right relationship. Pastor John MacArthur says, peace comes when the truth is known. Peace comes when the truth is known. The issue is settled and the parties embrace together. So a peacemaker is one who actually discovers the origin of the conflict. A peacemaker. He's willing to go and find the origin of the conflict. And he will find a way to resolve it. And he will find a way to help the parties to restore a proper loving relationship. And he also tries to eliminate or withdraws himself, remove himself away from strife. So there is a great need for this today in our nation and personally wherever we are at. Keep in mind, this does not describe those who live in peace. Okay? Peacemaker, this does not describe those who live in peace, but those who actually bring about peace. But those who actually bring about peace, overcoming evil with good. So the gospel is called, we call the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is called the gospel of peace because it tends to reconcile God, men to God and to each other. And one way we accomplish this is through spreading the gospel of Jesus. When we share this gospel of peace with others, we are bringing men with God. And that's why we call, God has entrusted this ministry of reconciliation to believers. Entrusted with us. Wherever we go, when the Lord gives an opportunity, share that loving relationship you have with Jesus. Our God is known as the Father of peace. So those who promote it are His children. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. But those who encourage divisions are not of God. On the other side, very easy to remember. Remember, peacemaking is a quality of a child of God. And Galatians chapter 5 verse 22, it is known as the fruit, one of the fruit of the Spirit. Peace. Have you noticed it is difficult to be a peacemaker when you and I are angry at somebody, right? It's very difficult. So it is not wise for believers to allow thoughts of vengeance and payback to accumulate and explode us, but we should humbly try to imitate our Savior. On the screen, a few verses before we move on. Psalm 34 verse 14 says, seek peace and pursue it. Seek peace and pursue it. Another one. Psalm 120 verse 7 says, it is about I is God. I am for peace. Then in the book of Hebrews we see the instruction. It says, Hebrews 12 verse 14, pursue peace with how many people? All people. And holiness without which no one will see the Lord. So may the Lord help us to embrace these essentials of the gospel and bring others to the feet of Christ. Let's quickly move on to the next step. The distinct types of biblical peace. Bible describes three distinct types of peace on the screen. Number one, peace with God. Peace with God. Romans chapter 3 verse 1. And we read in Romans chapter 5 verse 1 on the screen, another verse. You can see here, therefore having been justified by faith. What do you mean by justified? Declaring righteous. So having been justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. So the scripture proclaims, man is born in sin. Our old nature is an enemy. But Romans chapter 5 verse, the same chapter, verses 6 and 8 says, while we were enemies with God, who died for us? Christ died for us. While we were friends with God? No. Enemies with God, Christ died for us. And He sent His only Son, Jesus, to die for us. And through that death of Jesus Christ, the enmity between God and man due to sin was over. That means Jesus became the propitiation of our sins. Propitiation is a word simply means God, Jesus, through His death, He appeased the wrath of God or satisfied the wrath of God. Not only for us, the scripture says, but for the whole world. So because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross, we have peace with God. Without having peace with God in our lives, we cannot be a peacemaker. That's why I put that into the screen. Without making peace with God, we cannot be peacemakers. Why? We do not have the real peace that comes from God alone. We need to make that peace with God. How can we give something to someone without having it in us or with us in the first place? So I praise God this morning that all of us received this peace with God. So today we can be real peacemakers. Next one. Not only peace with God, peace of God. Sometimes you may wonder, how come I do not have the peace of God in my life? Have you wondered about it? How come I don't have the peace of God in my life? We may think in our own time, I made peace with God when I repented of my sins before God, but as I face my circumstances, as I face trials and problems and issues, when I see things are out of my control, then why do I not have the peace of God in my life? Why am I so worried about everything that's going on in my life? Is it not why Jesus said on the screen, peace I leave with you, right? My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And last week also I read this verse from John chapter 16. In the world you will have tribulation. In the world you will have sufferings, issues and problems. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. Why? I have overcome this world. My peace is there. I'm ready to give to you in that circumstances. The Lord wants us to trust in Him, put our faith in Him and be still and know that He is God. So when we do not have the peace of God, we are burdened with the cares of this world. Worries, sleeplessness. I go through that, sleeplessness. When I get worried, I don't get sleep at all. Sleeplessness. And sometimes my muscles will get hurt because it's one way of affecting my body. Loss of appetite. That is good. No joy. And all this results in no desire to read Bible or pray. That's the problem, right? It ends up into that situation where we have no desire to pray and no desire to read the Bible. Whatever you are facing today or carrying with you this morning, the Lord knows. And last week we learned, right? The Lord looks at where? The heart. Not our outward appearance. He looks at the heart. So He knows what you're going through today. I encourage you to cast your care upon the Lord this morning. Tell Him, Lord, it is not worth it for me to carry it. Why don't you carry it and exchange with your peace this morning? Because He cares for you. He's willing to replace your burdens with His peace. Apostle Paul reminds us this morning what this peace can accomplish in our lives. Philippians chapter 4 verse 7, we read like this, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding. You can put your cares there. All understanding. Whatever you are going through this morning, the peace of God will guard your heart and mind. Then Paul challenges in Colossians chapter 3 verse 15. Let the peace of God, what? Rule your hearts. The Lord is telling us. It is His word. It is powerful. Allow the Lord's peace to rule your heart this morning. When you allow the Lord's peace to reign in you, you and I can rest in peace today. We can go out of this building knowing that I cast my problem at the feet of the Lord. And He's going to take care of it. Because He said, cast your cares upon me and I will care for you. And that's why the psalmist said, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Because you cast your care upon Him, you can sit and relax because the Lord is going to work out it for you. So not only peace with God, not only peace of God, but one more thing, peace from God. We need peace from God too. The third distinct type of peace is when we come across major life-changing decisions and seeking God's will in our lives, such as marriage, number one, or education. Which school I should go to, which university I should select. buying and selling a house, those are major decisions. A new job, financial decision, and so on. Remember, other than the Word of God, there is no other manual available for us to look at, to see, and get the answer. Other than the Bible, there's no other manual available to us. And when you see God's face through prayer and look into His Word for your direction in life, you will receive that peace from God. You will receive it. When we look to the Lord for help, He directs His children through His Word. He guides them with His eyes. As Old Testament says, He guides you with His eyes. And another passage in the Old Testament, I think book of Isaiah says, He will lead you with the right hand of His righteousness. And we get that peace from God. Also, I would talk to those godly men the Lord placed in my life, in addition to prayer and reading God's Word. I'll go and share my burdens with them. And with that we call godly counselors. Book of Proverbs says on the screen, where there is no counsel, what happens? The people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, what happens? There is safety. In the multitude of godly counselors, there is safety. Not only reading God's Word, not only praying in your personal time, but share with the godly people the Lord placed in your life. Maybe people from the church. Or maybe people at work who are godly men and women. Share with them. Ask them to pray with you. And ask them what you will do in these circumstances. Or pray about it and let me know your advice. So in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. When we take a decision by our own, we end up in a miserable situation. Remember, you may not find peace from the Lord concerning a matter immediately. One more thing. We want to answer quickly, right? That's my nature. I want an answer quickly from the Lord. I'm praying for this. I need an answer quickly. But it comes through much prayer, guidance through the Holy Spirit, through His Word, and through many counselors. It takes time. And in the meantime, what happens? Either the Lord will change you, or the Lord will answer you with His showers of blessings. Either one of this will happen. You're praying for this something, but the Lord will change you in the meantime, and will bring you aligned to His desire and plan. But there is peace, even though it is not what we are, what we desired for, but there is peace because it is the Lord's will that is taking place. And God's name will be exalted, and people around us will be blessed. We will be blessed at the end. But when we go ahead with our own plan, God will not be honored, we will not be blessed, and people around us won't be blessed either. So allow the Lord to give you that peace from Him and from Him alone. We just read in Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. As you pray and seek God's will, that's the key. Make sure your heart is filled with His peace, not your desire to do something else, and may the Lord help us to do that. Let's move on quickly. Next one. Because I know you all have to treat your mothers today, right? Yes. So our heart is which restaurant we are going to today. So keep praying and the Lord will direct you. You will get that peace from God. So the diverse kinds of unbiblical peacemakers. Okay. So as I was looking into this, you know, the Lord put in my heart, you need to look into unbiblical peacemakers too. The first one. What is that? Peacebreaker. The Lord asks us to be peacemakers, but there can be peace breakers or takers. So what is the opposite of peacemaking? I put it there, peacebreaker, but I like this one, troublemaking, right? Either peacemaking or troublemaking or peacebreaking. And the explanation of this is one is a person who is a disturber of the peace. A person who is a disturber of that peace. Or he's the sender of the storm. Or he's a whirlwind of strife. These are the explanation of a troublemaker. He's a whirlwind of strife, tension, animosity. They go out of their way to cause trouble and division. And they could be confrontational. I never like to talk to a confrontational person. Don't do it. And they are willing to pick a fight, right? They are ready to fight with you. They always want to fight. Even things that really don't matter, right? Even if you talk about burger, they can fight with you. You like McDonald's? Oh, I like In-N-Out. There's a fight immediately. Stay away from such people. They are ready to disagree for the sake of disagreeing. Let's see what the book of wisdom talks about it. Proverbs, our women's Bible study, they have been studying the book of Proverbs. It's going to be 2 years now. They have been studying the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 28 through 30 on the screen. It says, look at that, opposite of a peacemaker. Eh? Troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip separates the best of friends. Violent people mislead their companions, leading them down a harmful path. With narrowed eyes, people plot evil with a smirk. They plan their mischief. And I took it from New Living Translation. So do you know what's the key weapon a peacemaker uses? Anybody? Somebody said tongue, right? Tongue. That's the key weapon they use. Scripture deals so much in regards to the improper use of tongue. As I surveyed the scriptures this week, I wanted to find out how many verses are there about improper use of tongue. And these are the things. The following. I'll just read it to you. Tongue can be used for injustice. Job chapter 6. Tongue can be used for cursing and troubles. Psalm 10 verse 7. Tongue can be used to flatter and speak proud things. Psalm 12 verse 3. Then tongue, it can devise destruction. Psalm 52. Then it can be used for deceitfulness. Psalm 52, Psalm 120. It can be used as a sharp sword. Psalm 57. It can be used for lying. Psalm 109, 120. Proverbs chapter 6, chapter 12, chapter 21. It can be used for perverseness. Proverbs chapter 10, chapter 17. Isaiah 59. Then death lies in it, in the tongue. Death lies in the tongue. Proverbs 18. Proverbs 25 says it can be used for backbiting. Isaiah 30 says it can be used for devouring fire. James chapter 3 verse 8, it boasts great things. James 3 8 says it has deadly poison. Then it continues, a peacemaker uses it for gossip, slander, and judging others. But Jesus told his people not to be a peacebreaker, but to be a peacemaker. And that same instruction is for you and me today. He wants us to be peacemakers. Why? They can build others up for God's kingdom. God loves a peacemaker and he brings peace, which is the fruit of righteousness. James chapter 3 verse 18 says, now the fruit of righteousness, on the screen. Let's read that together. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. When you make peace, what are you doing? You are sowing the fruit of righteousness. So that's number one, unbiblical method. Next one, peace. Peace faker. That's from my experience. Okay, that's from my personal life. Sometimes I feel like I'm a peace faker. Peace fakers are far better than peacemakers and breakers. Sorry. Peace fakers are far better than peace breakers. These people avoid what? Confrontation, argument, and real issues because of the fear of losing peace. Have you gone through that? You have that fear of losing peace at home, at workplace, at a grocery market, and what do? You just avoid everything. It is because they do not want to offend or upset the other person, so they give up their rights in explaining their side of the matter. Even if somebody's accusing you, you just let it go of your right. And you allow others to accuse you and put you down. They usually become a prey to a peacebreaker. They are devoured by peacebreakers. Their defensive method is agreeing with everyone. Okay? Their defensive method is agreeing with everyone and also not being willing to correct someone due to fear of losing friendship or fellowship. And we can all find ourselves at times in this group, peace fakers. When you know the need of sharing the truth with someone, with gentleness and love, what happens? Satan will stop us by putting this type of fear in us immediately. No, you're going to get into a huge mess. Don't try to correct them in gentleness and love. Leave them alone. Sometimes due to our fear, a friend or a family member can go into destruction and fall into deep failures because of our timidity and unwillingness to deal with issues. So that really struck me this week when I, you know, thought through it and put those sentences together. Finally, it made sense to me. You know, because of that fear, we can allow somebody to go into destruction. Paul told the Ephesian church, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. If we do not do that, we can end up in lying to ourselves. So this morning, church or believers, let us not fake peace at the expense of truth, but be diligent in making peace with one another for the sake of God's love, righteousness, and his truth. Amen? That takes us to the last point for today. The distinctiveness of a peacemaker. The distinctiveness of a peacemaker. I would like to bring your attention a few unique qualities of a peacemaker on the screen. Number one, what is that? They are swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Who? A peacemaker. And that's the exact verse from James chapter 1 verse 19. Peacemaker is the one who is swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. They know the importance of involving God in their words. So they take a step back and think through it and edit their words with God's help. Then they advise or share. Next one. What is that? Let's read together. They examine their words very well and speak gently. Proverbs chapter 15 verse 1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger, because they do not want to put more fuel into the fire. What they will do? They will always use a soft answer that can turn away wrath. So they examine their words very well and they speak gently and with lots of love. And Colossians chapter 4 verse 6 is a beautiful scripture. You just listen to me. Colossians chapter 4 verse 6 says, let your speech always be with grace. Okay? Let your speech always be with grace. You know what next one? Season with salt. Not only for our steak and our ribs, our speech also must be seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each other. Isn't that a good verse? Right? Yes, great verse. Next one. Read with me. They only address the problem, not attack the person. A peacemaker only address the problem and they will never attack the person. If we only blame the other person, then we cannot be a peacemaker. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 31 and 32 says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ Jesus forgave you. So they always address the problem, never willing to attack the person. Next one, a peacemaker. They do their best to make peace with everyone. They do their best and leave the rest with whom? With the Lord. Lord, with your strength, I did this much, and I hand over this matter to you. Romans chapter 12 verse 18 says, if it is possible, Romans 12, 18, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. So do your part well, because God evaluates only our response, right? God only evaluates our response, since we are responsible of our own actions and words. Another one. They let go of their selfishness for the sake of the other. They know that there is always a price to pay. So what do? They bury their selfish ego. What we call that, they swallow their pride. and let go of everything and allow the Lord to rule and reign. Because of their unselfishness, they would consider others. They would give value to others' words and suggestions and opinion. Why? They have a teachable heart. They are willing to do anything to make peace. Next one. Let's read this together. I'm almost done. Be excited. You're about to go and have lunch. Let's read that together. They see through the eyes of the other person to bring them together. That's hard, right? Seeing through the other person's eyes. Two believers fought over. This is a beautiful story, okay? Two believers fought over their old defense between their houses and decided not to talk to each other. So you know what happened? After many months, one of them was convicted and decided to bring peace. So he invited his neighbor and brought his Bible with him and to that middle ground, right? Where the fence, they came, and the one standing on the other side and this brother with his Bible on this side. And he said, let's read the Bible together. I want to make peace with you because we are believers. We are God's children. So the believer who initiated the peacemaking process read it first and asked his neighbor to read it. But the neighbor, the other neighbor, when he came, he forgot to take his eyeglasses. So he borrowed it from the brother who took the initiative for this talk. After reading it, they prayed and reconciled their friendship, a relationship. And before they left, the neighbor who borrowed the eyeglasses and said, you know, by the way, that old fence looks very different through your glasses. Why did we fight all this time? There's no reason to fight it. It looks very different through your eyeglasses. Amen. That is the focus of a peacemaker. Don't you think so? That is the focus of a peacemaker. Seeing it through others' eyes. Next one on the screen. On the screen. Let's read together. They know that God created everyone uniquely and diversely. I believe this understanding itself will help us to deal with the others peacefully. For example, again, you can laugh for this. Men and women are totally different in their physical features, thinking, understanding, and view of life. Don't you think so? Everything is different. So when I went and looked into the survey to find out. I don't want to put my ideas. I looked into people who surveyed men and women differently. So it says, an average man may speak, you know how many words a day? 7,000 words a day. And women are, wow, men can speak. 7,000 words a day, but an average woman may speak, you know how many words? 20,000 words. Men, 7,000. Women, 20,000 words a day. So what happens when a husband and wife come back home from work? You can imagine that, right? The man will be exhausted completely, right? Having used up his words. He finished. Used up all his 7,000 words. But the woman has 10 to 13,000 words remaining. She has 13,000 words left to say now. Now you know what happens at night, right? When each night when our wives ask questions and try to converse with us, you know, my usual answers to Tanya are, you know, I don't know about that. That's my single statement. I don't know about that. Oh, I didn't know. I do not know what I want to eat tonight. What do you want to eat tonight? You want this, this? I do not know what I want to eat tonight. Yeah, I think so. Oh, yeah, okay. These are my words in the evening. Oh, really? Why? Men's brains are done by the end of the day. All you want is sit on that couch and relax. And that's why they call us, what's that? Couch potatoes, right? But we need to thank God for couch potatoes too. They are not there in the bar or partying, right? Your couch potato is inside your house itself. You better thank God for that. Amen? Yes. Finding every way to thank the Lord, right? We need rest. On the other hand, men should know God created women differently too. They have so much to ask and they have so much to share. So when we know each other and understand the way God created, there will be lots of peace. If we know this uniqueness and diversity, we can live peacefully. So when we do not know things, we become troublemakers. Last one. Let's read together. They know that this quality helps them identify as God's children. Why? Our scripture, our text says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. So the reward of peacemakers is that they are recognized as true children of God. They share His passion for peace and reconciliation, the breaking down of walls between people. And this character trait is not valued by our modern culture. But we need to remember always that this is the character of the citizens of God's kingdom. Sons of God. When you make peace, you belong to God. Peacemakers are those who resemble God, who manifest a spirit like their God. On the screen, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33 says, for God is not the author of confusion, but what? But of peace. God is the author of peace. Author of peace, and all those who endure to promote peace are like Him and are worthy to be called His children. So today, I'm about to conclude. God wants His children to be peacemakers in our homes, in our workplaces, in our church, and in our community. Wherever we are at, God wants us to be peacemakers. We need to be bridge builders, not bridge breakers. That should be our aim. If possible, on your part, live at peace with everyone. How can be a peacemaker? By trusting in the Lord, putting your faith in the Lord, and believing in Him. Why? He has that ability to make peace. He has that ability to bring calmness to a situation. Do you remember the situation when Jesus, it is Matthew chapter 8, we will be studying that soon, a story about the storm. The storm was strong and was so powerful, and the storm was so fierce, and the disciples of Christ were afraid in that boat, right? And they cried and they pleaded with Jesus, we won't survive in this storm. And what did Jesus do in that little boat while it was tossing and floating around? What did He do? Jesus stood up and He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. Matthew chapter 8, verse 26. So when you know that things are out of your hand, out of your control, you know where to go. Go to the feet of Jesus and, like disciples, tell Him, this is out of my control. I need peace. I want you to calm this situation. And He will stand up and rebuke that situation and will bring peace into your situation. Why don't you allow the Lord to do it more? Sometimes we step in the place of God, instead allowing Him to step in and to do the work of God. Allowing the Holy Spirit to do that great thing for us. Stand back behind the Lord. Always stand behind the Lord. Don't go ahead of the Lord. And tell Him, I'm committing this situation into Your care and into Your keeping. Please glorify Your name and help me in the meantime. Guide me, Lord Jesus. You see, Jesus was a peacemaker and He always changes things. Whenever there is a storm, He creates what? When there is chaos, He creates order. When there is bitterness and strife, what He does? He creates peace into such lives. He is the Prince of Peace. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. He is the Prince of Peace, and He has called us to be peacemakers too. So let's recollect that Bible verse one more time. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. May God bless us. Amen. Let's bow our hearts for prayer. Lord, we thank You for Your word. Thank You for speaking to us, challenging us, and at the same time encouraging us to trust in You, to believe in You, to put our faith in You. Father, we thank You for Your word. This is so precious. It's priceless truth. We bow down at the feet of Jesus and we ask You to help us, forgive us. Lord, we want to be peacemakers because the Bible says, because we shall be called the sons of God. We want others to say, oh, he's a child of God. She is a child of God. No wonder she brings peace. She wants to stand for peace. Lord, help us and guide us. Lead us, Father. Thank you for speaking to us. We bow down at the feet of the Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.